Hello and welcome back to We Watch Movies, a podcast where we watch movies and talk about them. I'm your host, Elijah, and this week I'm all alone. Some of you may remember Forrest is on vacation, so hopefully he's having a grand old time. I am all by myself. And it's going to be a short one, not going to spend too long here, but a couple movies I've watched recently I'd love to talk about and give my thoughts on. So sit back and strap in and enjoy me talking to myself for a little bit. It'll be fun, I promise. To get some things out of the way, we do have an Instagram account, so go follow us at We Watch Movies Podcast. Forrest runs that. I have no idea if it's successful or not. Maybe it is. But go check it out to find out for yourself, I guess. Also, next week will be like this. Forrest is on vacation for a very long time, apparently, and he just doesn't want to be here. So sorry about that. 2 weeks of just me talking. Maybe I'll try to get a guest next week. We'll find out. Who knows? After that, we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming with the finale of our Harry Potter series with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2, which I'm very excited about because especially Part 2 is incredible. This week, though, I wanted to talk about a movie I saw recently called Tenet. I decided to go to the theaters. It was the first time I've been to the theaters in months. Probably since February. I can't remember the last movie I saw in theaters, to be honest. It might have been the second Jumanji movie, which was like not bad somehow. Somehow those movies aren't bad. Check them out if you want. Yeah, so I saw my local theater was doing pre-screenings of Tenet. They had like all the week leading up to the Friday release, they had screenings on the weekdays. So I actually went and saw it on a Monday, 7 p.m. showing, and everything was socially distant. Every other row was blocked off. Everyone had their masks on for the most of the time, unless they were eating. It was fairly safe overall. I was pretty impressed. But Tenet was by far and away my most anticipated movie of the year. Christopher Nolan's newest work coming fresh off of Dunkirk, which was very good and worth a watch. But this Tenet feels much more back to Nolan's kind of, I don't know, roots. It's much more in line with Inception or Interstellar or even Memento, where there's a core gimmick to the movie. And the whole movie kind of revolves around that gimmick. It's a high concept, Bond-esque action thriller, I'd say. It stars John David Washington, Robert Pattinson, Elizabeth Debicki, Kenneth Branagh, Michael Caine, a whole lot of other people. Oh, Aaron Taylor Johnson's in there too for a little bit. And man, this movie is wild. I will not spoil this movie. I realize I would love to talk about spoilers, but I doubt many people have been able to see it because of the theaters, most theaters being shut down. So I won't spoil it. So don't worry about that. Basic premise is we follow John David Washington. His character is simply titled The Protagonist. We follow the protagonist as he discovers that there is a, well, worldwide global threat using something called inversion. And inversion is objects or materials or things that have reversed time flow. So, for example, you might have an inverted bullet, which when a gun is pointed at it, you catch the bullet in the gun instead of shooting the bullet, because the bullet's already in the wall. It's moving backward in time. And it sounds like a huge leap to get over. It's very in-depth and complex concept. But I think overall, the movie does a good job of making it semi-understandable, and you can at least, what you're seeing on the screen, you can understand to some extent, maybe not fully comprehend it, but you can look at it and be like, okay, even if I don't understand this concept to the fullest, I see that these things or this object or whatever is moving backward through time visually. I see that I can understand. And what it does is create these wild, wild set pieces as John David Washington and Robert Pattinson, they're kind of the two main characters. Well, they're the two primary good guys, I'd say, along with Elizabeth Debicki. And as they're trying to stop this World War III-esque plot, there's just some wild inverted set pieces. The highlight of the whole movie for me is this probably 40-minute section in the middle revolving around an airport. If you've seen the trailer, you see the big plane crash into the building. It's insane. And that segment in the middle of the movie really kind of brings to mind that Nolan magic, kind of like you get in Inception's finale when all the dreams are collapsing, or throughout most of Interstellar, to be honest, just when everything's humming along and perfectly in sync and you're swept away by everything that happens. That's a huge section of the movie. Just you feel that you're totally in it, and it's great. Overall, I think the movie is a huge success. It's great. Lots of things start to make sense as you watch it more. Lots of things click, especially one specific thing toward the end. You see it and you're like, oh my gosh, that's what that was. That makes so much more sense. I'm really trying to tread carefully around spoilers here. It's just kind of insane to watch. I don't think it's quite on the level of, say, Inception or Interstellar. I think those two are kind of, along with maybe The Dark Knight, are like S-tier Nolan. I think Tenet is the tier below that. It's still excellent. It's really great. I'm kind of leaning 4.5, maybe 5 stars if I watch it again. It's truly a spectacle to behold. So I highly recommend seeing it. I have heard a lot of criticisms of it, primarily with the sound mixing. I've heard a lot of people complain that they cannot understand any of the dialogue. I cannot deny their experiences. If that's what they experienced, that really sucks. My experience, I'd say there was maybe 5% of the dialogue that was indecipherable. It was really not that bad. Even if I didn't hear every word, I feel like I left every scene knowing what had happened. So I personally don't think the sound mixing was much of an issue in terms of the dialogue. But just be warned, a lot of people and critics have pointed out that there were sound issues when they watched it. So it may have been my theater having a different type of sound system, or I don't know, just something to be wary of going and seeing it. Another thing is this movie, the other major criticism at least, has been like a total lack of character development for 80% of the characters. This is harder. I'm not going to dispute that. It's by, like, it's 100% a plot-driven movie, but much like a lot of the other Nolan movies, there is an emotional core. It's not completely soulless or anything. Like in Inception, you have Cobb and Maul and their relationship kind of providing the emotional core that keeps you invested in all of the crazy sci-fi that's happening. in Interstellar, you have the bond between Coop and Murph as the primary emotional core. And again, that keeps you invested while all the crazy sci-fi is happening. And here you have Elizabeth Debicki's character. I think her name is Kat. She really, really carries 95% of the emotional core of Tenet. And she does it brilliantly. The performances are out of this world, but Elizabeth Debicki specifically knocked it out of the park. She stole the show in my mind. And her character really, it made the movie feel like there, it made it feel like there was a point to the movie, I guess. It wasn't just, oh, I have this cool time travel, time manipulation idea thing. Let's make a movie of just that. No, it feels like it's a story about Elizabeth Debicki's character in the context of the wild time stuff, which is cool. I really liked that. It was not, it wasn't soulless. It definitely had some heart and some really powerful emotional beats, in my opinion, especially there's a scene at the end that really hits home after everything that everyone has been through. The chemistry between all of the actors is great, especially John David Washington and Robert Pattinson. Man, Robert Pattinson just is killing it in everything. He is so great here. He looks phenomenal as the Batman. The Lighthouse, wow. I'm not sure I'd recommend that movie. He was very good in. He's just a fantastic actor. Can't wait to see more of his stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that's Tenet. It's a wild ride, technically masterful. I truly do not know how some of these things, Nolan accomplished some of these things. There are fight scenes where one person's moving forward, the other person's moving backward, and I don't know what the heck is happening with the stunt people. Did they train the stunts backward? Did they do two versions of the fight forward and backward and splice the film together? I truly have no idea. And it is mesmerizing to watch a lot of this stuff happen, especially a specific moment where a building explodes, but also doesn't. It's nuts. Technically masterful, visually stunning and impressive. The score is good. It's not super memorable, but it serves its purpose well, especially in the context of the inversion concept. A lot of the times the score will play in reverse when you're watching multiple timelines or watching the two time flows. When you're watching the forward time flow, it'll show you, or the score will play forward. When you're watching the reverse time flow, the score will play backward, or at least it's a piece of music designed to sound backward. So that's cool. Again, not super memorable, but good. Yeah, that's Tenet. See it if you can. I'll be buying it day one on 4K. You don't need to force yourself to go to a theater, especially if you feel unsafe, but when it is eventually released, highly recommended movie. Nolan hasn't really gone wrong in a while. It's a solid movie. Very, very solid movie. I enjoyed it immensely, and I think it will improve on subsequent viewings. So that's kind of the first thing I wanted to talk about. The second thing I really wanted to talk about was I watched a movie the other day called My Neighbor Totoro. I'm sure a lot of people know that is a Studio Ghibli film. And if you don't know, Studio Ghibli is a Japanese animation studio known for creating incredible, beautiful, hand-drawn, whimsical children's films for the most part, and kind of have that Pixar vibe of appealing both to children and adults. But again, it's hand animated, it's 2D animation. Their most prominent figure, Studio Ghibli, is Hayao Miyazaki. He directed 90% of their movies and is an absolute legend. I have seen a few Studio Ghibli movies before. I've seen Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, Castle in the Sky, Nausicaa, The Valley of the Wind, and Howl's Moving Castle. I think those are the five I've seen. And then I just saw My Neighbor Totoro the other day. My Neighbor Totoro, it's hard to critique. It's difficult. Because from an artistic perspective, well, artistically, from an animation perspective, it's just mind-blowing. It looks better than a lot of animated movies released today, and this was released in, I believe, the late 80s. It is stunning to look at. The character designs are so fun and creative. The animation is smooth and seamless. The backgrounds are stunning. It's just is beautiful. Every frame could be a desktop background. No complaints there. And artistically, from a visual storytelling standpoint, that meaning being able to portray a series of events visually rather than telling them through dialogue, it's also brilliant. It's incredible. There are a few extended scenes with little to no dialogue from characters, and so much emotion and whimsy is portrayed just through the different shots and the wacky characters and stuff. Specifically, a scene at a bus stop where the two main girls of the movie, who are very young, like I don't know, 3 and 7, it might have been mentioned in the movie, I don't remember, but they're waiting at the bus stop for their dad to come home from work. And Totoro, who is this forest spirit, who's very fluffy, and who basically looks like a 6 foot tall bunny, sort of. He's adorable. He comes up next to them and just kind of waddling over, and it's raining, and just there's this long, probably 3 or 4 minute sequence without any words being said, but the interactions between the girls and Totoro just portray so much story and movement and character. And you feel like you really get to know them through these interactions. And that is incredible visual storytelling. And it happens multiple times in the movie. My issue with the movie as a whole, as artistically impressive as it is, it has almost no plot. It feels very meandering. And honestly, this kind of has plagued some other Ghibli movies for me. I've heard, I cannot confirm this, but I've heard Hayao Miyazaki, the director of most of these films, works without a script. He only uses storyboarding and kind of feels out the story as he goes. And I think that's really, if it's true at least, I think that's really apparent in a lot of his movies, especially this one. It felt like he had a strong premise, a strong setup, and then he didn't see really an end point, and kind of just instead of like aiming toward a conclusion and going there, he saw a vague image of a conclusion and sort of drifted there. It makes it feel much longer than it is. It's only like 86 minutes long, but it felt close to 2 hours to me. It's just, it's hard to say that because it really is such an impressive artistic achievement from a visual standpoint. And I feel like if a screenwriter had written this, again, this is assuming there was no script. I feel like if a screenwriter had sat down and given this more of a story and more direction, it could have been a masterpiece. It's I want to recommend it. I'm not. It's really, if you like, if you haven't seen it and you've liked other Ghibli movies, you'll probably like this one. If you don't like Ghibli movies, you'll definitely won't like this one. I, like with a lot of Ghibli movies, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. Yeah, it's hard. My favorite Ghibli movies are Castle in the Sky and Nausicaä, the Valley of the Wind, both with beautiful, strong animation and actual stories with a plot where we see a protagonist and his like team of good guys, and we see an antagonist, and we are like, we have a conflict and it's very defined and we know what's happening and why every scene relates to the story, and that feels very clear. And when a Ghibli movie has that on top of the incredible visual storytelling and animation, it's beautiful. It's amazing. Both of those movies are highly recommended. Nausicaä, the Valley of the Wind, and Castle in the Sky. But this one feels like the farthest away from that yet. Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke were close. They did have the plot, but they just never felt like it came all together or fully clicked for me with those two. So I'd put those in the middle more, but Totoro really is, it's closer to the bottom, I think, for my Ghibli hierarchy here, just because it really is generally plotless, which is hard to say because it is that beautiful. Yeah, I think I'd probably give this one 2.5 stars. I think it's better than 2.5 stars, but just for me, my own personal rating here, I can't really put it much higher. Again, it's not bad. By no means is it really even close to bad, but I just see all the potential there that I think went unfulfilled. But it serves a purpose. It evokes a lot of emotion through powerful imagery. It evokes a lot of feelings, I'm sure. It feels very nostalgic thinking back on having imaginary friends and adventures and all that. It invokes all those feelings of fantasy and whimsy that come with childhood. And it's good. It's not as good as it could have been, I think. So if I had to give a ranking for all of the Ghibli movies I've seen, I think it would be Castle in the Sky, Nausicaä, the Valley of the Wind, Spirited Away at 3. Then probably Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke, and then My Neighbor Totoro. Howl's Moving Castle and Princess Mononoke could go back and forth. Again, I respect Studio Ghibli and Miyazaki's work immensely. I think he is a legend for a reason. His work doesn't always totally gel with what I'm looking for in a movie. So yeah, I think I'm going to just kind of keep it there for now. Very short episode. Sorry about that. It's a little harder with only one perspective. But yeah, next week, hopefully I'll have watched a couple more movies to talk about and can touch on some different topics. But yeah, I think I'm going to go watch some football games. See how Tampa Brady's doing. Thanks for listening, guys. I've been Elijah. You all have been beautiful. This has been We Watch Movies. And I will see you next time.